Reyes.
Good afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hi to Mike.
Hi to Mike. This week, this episode, we are going to have a sweet pea extravaganza as promised, because we have been quite serious last week and it all got a bit...
It all got a bit quarantined.
Morbid.
And morbid, yeah.
So, our lovely plant of the week...
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower.
It's very sweet and fragrant
and
beautiful. And I did say I was going to talk about it last week, but as usual, we rambled on. But it's a definite this week.
Okay. Take it away, Karen. And after our plant of the week... We are celebrating Matariki. So, me being a librarian, I have a special story time for all you listeners.
Okay, so to the sweetness. We'll start off on a sweet note, starting with the sweet pea plant of the week. So, did you know that in England... This plant is referred to as the Queen of Annuals?
No, I did not.
So there you go. The sweet pea is a flowering plant in the genus Lithyrus in the family Fabaceae, legume family.
Mm-hmm.
It's native to Sicily in southern Italy. I know a lady called Sicily.
Ah, Mediterranean plant then.
Mm. I didn't know that. I thought it was all English.
No, no. A lot of plants do not come from England, although they're popular there. They actually hunted them down and took them from everywhere they could.
Okay. And fair enough too. As long as no one was hurt in the process, you know. Nothing like a good seed, you know. My mum, she's English, and it's like whenever she goes to anyone's garden, she's always on the hunt. She's, oh, can I take a cutting? And that's only if she asks. Like half the time they're just in the pockets. And
Yeah.
So it's an annual climbing plant growing to a height of 1 to 2 metres. Dwarf sweet peas, which I'm actually trying to grow at the moment. I planted some down at the community garden and they were flattened overnight by the slugs.
Oh.
They love... sweet peas or any sort of new plant really, but I came back a week later and all I could see was stalks, no leaves.
Oh no.
I was like, no.
Yeah.
So yeah.
We have never had much success with peas down there.
Should have put cloches over the top.
Yeah.
Silly me. But I was in a bit of a rush and I chucked down some quash pellets, slug and snail pellets,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, no, that was just too tempting for them. So dwarf peas, they grow to approximately a foot tall. Sweet peas have pinnate leaves with two... So that means, do you know what that means?
Do they have five finger... No.
I think it means like there's two leaves on either side of the stalk.
Okay.
So okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm saying that pinnate.
Mm.
And they with two leaflets and a terminal tendril, so the one going up the centre. And I think pinnate means they're both exactly opposite each other.
Okay, like wings.
Yeah. Does that sound about right? I'm looking at my picture, but all I got was a beautiful flower.
Oh.
Didn't really take note of the leaves. So, other legumes that are similar to this include beans, Mimosa, soybeans, wisteria and clover.
Okay, yes. So
they're in
the
same
The leaves
sort of,
come in kind of clusters of, picture them. It's hard to describe that.
It's like little wings on the side of it. Anyway, so sweet peas have been a fave in our gardens for generations. English gardeners even call, I mentioned that, sweet peas the queen of the annuals. Sweet peas offer one of the widest colour ranges in the plant kingdom, apparently, according to Wikipedia. Crimson reds, navy blues, pastel lavenders, pinks, and the purest whites.
Gorgeous. The only colour not is yellow.
Yes. I'm sure that there've been some... There's some guy in New Zealand that was quite famous for developing flower colours.
Karen, you can't just call him some guy.
Do you know? I can't remember his name.
Keith Hammett.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah. He's world famous.
Is he?
Yeah.
Because he was mentioned on... I should have mentioned him in this write-up. Yeah, and he was tulips, was it tulips?
He breeds not only sweet peas, but cliveas or clivias.
Yeah.
And dahlias.
Yeah.
And other flowers.
And what's the one that you really like? Orchids. Does he breed them as well, or is that someone
else?
Not
so much of orchids.
But I wonder, he probably, Mr. Hammett, probably was working really hard to see if he could get some sort of yellow, orangey hues going, eh?
Yes, we'll have to ask him.
What happened?
Yeah.
That's cool, eh? So you get ruffled blooms are said to look like little butterflies all aflutter. The fragrance of... Oh, and they come in solid colours, bicolours, streaked or flaked flowers. I'm not quite sure. Flaky, maybe.
Streaked and flaked?
Flake.
I'm picturing a chocolate flake, but...
Baby, I haven't had much success with peas, so I'm not an expert on what they look like. So anyway, I will keep trying. So I have had a few self-seed, though. I'm going to pay a bit more attention next spring.
Okay. Well, my ones are coming out at the moment. They self-sow every time, so...
Yeah, they're great for that. So it's almost like the harder you try, the worse they do if you just leave them to it, eh? So yours are doing okay?
I'm seeing them. They're only yay high. Yay high means like a hand high.
Are they dwarf or
no,
normal?
They're the normal ones. Yeah. They're the original bicolour ones, which are purple and pinky.
Oh, yeah, like ones. My picture.
Yeah.
Like this
picture. So the original ones obviously have all the colour that is needed to be bred into all the other different ones that are descended from that. Original one.
The fragrance of the sweet pea has been described as a captivating blend of honey and orange blossom.
Oh.
And it has even been incorporated into the Old Spice mix.
Oh, that famous Old Spice.
Yeah, everyone's dad had it in the 80s, eh?
Why do they call it Old Spice, though?
Well, I guess they didn't really want to be called Honey Orange Blossom.
Old pea.
So sweet peas are a great gardening companion. Why so? Well, they fix nitrogen into the soil.
Yes.
And this benefits a range of vegetables, like other legumes.
Mm.
And this benefits a range of vegetables, including brassicas and leafy greens, which require a bit of nitrogen.
Mm.
They produce flowers over a long period. That's another reason why I think they're called the queen of the annuals.
Yes.
Which makes their short lives all the more brilliant. It's great for attracting bees and butterflies into the garden. Although, just a little note here at the end, although garden peas such as English peas, edible potted peas and snow peas are edible, sweet peas are actually poisonous.
Yes.
Especially the flowers and seeds. So they may look adorable.
Well,
but don't eat them.
No, don't eat them.
Yeah, because some people do put flowers on their salads. Like nasturtium flowers.
Yes.
Yum.
Yes. Pansies.
Pansies and marigolds. But, yeah, stay clear of the sweet pea flower.
Just leave them for your vase.
Oh, they also make great cut flowers.
Yes. And the more you cut them, the more they flower.
Oh, cool.
So.
Yeah.
The ones that are bred for show, because they have, in England, they have sweet pea shows.
Oh, yeah.
All dedicated to the perfect blossom.
Yeah.
They like the long stems if you can grow them with the long.
Yeah.
It just shows them off better. So,
that would be challenging. Hence, probably the prize winner.
Yeah.
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 Because they tend to kind of curl and, well, they're like a tendril.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the stalks, the flower stalks are long. But, yeah, you can get ones at all different sizes, but they prize the long ones because it shows them off to advantage.
Mm. Mm. So they probably wouldn't be growing the dwarf.
Yeah, probably
variety.
Not the dwarf one so much. Yeah. And you need to grow them on to climb something if you're not growing the dwarf ones.
Mm-hmm.
So get your trellis or teepee, obelisk.
Yes.
Put them beforehand so they
That's
have something
right.
to climb on. Or you can grow them through something else like a shrub or a tree that isn't too shady.
Mm.
So they'll just sort of clamber through.
Mm. They like clambering.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you can help them out with that, you know, that helps. So give it a go, listeners. That's your sweet pea.
Mm.
Simple enough. Beautiful.
Yeah, just my favourite, one of my favourite flowers.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I'm glad that I could,
I'm so looking
share all that with you.
Forward to them coming out later on.
Yeah.
So around November, it's October, November, that's when they'll be blossoming.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Right. And after they've died down and they've all dried up and the seeds will fly everywhere and you'll get new ones, you can, the dried up stalks, you can just use them as mulch.
Yeah.
Because pea straw mulch is very good for plants.
Yeah.
Makes great mulch.
It does. And it's particularly good with strawberries, I'm told.
Yeah.
Although my strawberries weren't exactly, anyway, might not have been the pea mulch.
So
it might have been my, maybe my hens. Had something to do with that.
Oh, okay.
So,
Karen, did you actually get any going at the garden?
The I will report garden? Back. I'm going to be down there tomorrow. I'm going to see if they actually, if there's any new leaf growth on the stalks, but I'm not holding up hope for that.
With my ordinary peas, because I'm growing snow peas at the moment, I put netting on both sides of them, so Martha couldn't dig them out.
Martha being the hen, guys, her hen. Snow peas. So those are edible ones. Yeah.
Their flowers are just boring white.
Oh, yeah.
They're not fragrant.
What's the difference between what they call a edible potted pea and a snow pea? Is there a difference?
Well, you wouldn't really want to eat the sweet peas because their pod is like hard and furry.
Oh, right. So edible potted meaning you can eat the pod the pea?
Yeah.
All in, okay, right.
And when sweet peas dry, they'll go all hard and they're not very tasty anyway. Well, I can imagine they would be tasty.
But you open it up, yum, the sweetness within, so
yes,
yum.
So
oh, you must
yummy.
Be excited. Have you only got edible ones? Have you got any?
Oh, I've got both. So sweet peas are coming out. They don't have any blossoms yet, of course.
Yeah.
But my snow peas have already been flowering and podding.
Mm-hmm.
They like the cooler weather.
Okay.
So I actually have to harvest them soon.
Right.
So.
Oh, nice. What a nice addition to winter.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
Speaking of winter.
Yes, you've got something special for us today, Selena.
Yes. Well, I have a special story time I'd like to share and read out loud.
Oh.
Everyone can snuggle up and listen
Yes,
to
the librarians in town.
Matariki by Melanie Drury.
Yeah.
Drury. It is a picture book, but we're on radio, so we'll have to imagine a picture book of the pictures.
Okay.
So I'll just give a nod to the illustrator, Bruce Potter. Quite an old... Well, it was first published in 2003, so it's not recent, but...
Well, it's all right, because Matariki's been around, since the 1800s.
Yeah.
So
for those unfamiliar...
Well,
actually,
before that, as long as the stars have been around.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we all know about New Year in January and Chinese New Year, usually because the calendar changes and that's... But for the Maori...
So the Chinese New Year changes like the Matariki New Year.
Well, it goes by the moon phases.
Right.
But if you're a gardener, Matariki is a good celebration because you are looking at the changes in the weather and the days getting long. But I will get into that when we'll find out.
Awesome.
Okay. So, Matariki by Melanie Drury. Tonight we have to go to bed really early, said Mum. Tomorrow morning we are going to have a surprise. What sort of surprise? We asked. You'll find out soon, said Mum. Uncle Joe came into the kitchen. Phew, I'm tired, he said. That was hard work. What were you doing, Uncle Joe? We asked. I was making a bonfire, he grinned. Why? You'll find out soon, said Uncle Joe. Auntie Pania came into the kitchen. Where shall I put these heavy bags? She asked. What's in them? We asked. Kai for a feast, she said. Why are we having a feast? We asked. You'll find out soon, said Auntie Pania. Nanny walked into the kitchen. Kia ora, Mokoma, she said. What are you doing here, Nanny? I've come to stay the night, she said. What for? Do you know what the surprise is, Nanny? We asked. You'll find out soon, laughed Nanny. After tea, Mum said, right, it's time for bed. Oh, Mum, not yet. It's early, we groaned. Come on, go to bed and then it will be time for the surprise, said Uncle Joe. Choose some warm clothes for the morning, said Nanny. Good night, sleep tight, no arguing, said Auntie Pania. But what's the surprise? We shouted. You'll find out soon, they all said. Wake up, whispered Mum. It's morning and you need to get dressed. Why? Where are we going? We asked. We're going to a New Year party, said Mum. New Year? But that's in January. This is the middle of winter. And shouldn't a party be at night? We asked. This is the Māori New Year, said Mum with a smile. We're going to celebrate Matariki. Now let's get the kai and walk down to the beach. It was very dark outside and the moon was just a tiny curve in the sky. Let's hold hands so we don't get lost, said Auntie Pania. What will we do at the party, Mum? We asked. We're nearly there, said Mum, squeezing our hands. You'll find out soon. On the beach, a bonfire was blazing. Uncle Joe was already there. Welcome, welcome to this Matariki celebration, he said, hugging us all. Mum gave us silver tinfoil packages. There's kumara in these. Let's cook them in the fire for later, she said. So we pushed them into the hot part of the fire with sticks. Look, Matariki is rising, called Nanny. She pointed to some stars and began to call out, her voice echoing over the sea and into the darkness. See those stars over there, whispered Mum. They are Matariki. Nanny was welcoming them back. Where have they been, we asked. Well, these stars move across the sky and near the middle of May, they disappear from our skies. Then they reappear near the middle of June. The first new moon after they come back is the start of the Māori New Year and the days will start to get longer again. Auntie Pania and Mum stood up with Nanny and sang a sad song. Why did you sound so sad? We asked. We were singing about people we loved who have died, said Mum. Some people say Matariki is made up of the seven houses of the gods, and that's people's spirits go there when they die, said Nanny, wiping tears from her face. Are they really? We asked. Well, other people say those seven stars are seven chiefs looking down, and we can see only one of their eyes, said Auntie Pania. And others say Matariki is the prow of a great waka in the sky, said Mum. Where I come from, people say Matariki is a woman living in the sky with her six daughters, said Nanny. I like the story about Tane, said Uncle Joe. There was a star so bright and beautiful, All the people loved it, and this made Tane jealous. He snatched it from the sky and threw it hard to smash it. The star broke into 7 pieces, but still shone brightly, and the people named it Little Eyes, or Matariki. "I don't know about that," said Nanny, "but I do know that Matariki can tell us if it will be a good year." "How?" we asked. "Look at the stars. Are they bright and clear and standing apart? This means it will be a good, fine year. If they are thin and quivering and huddled together, it means it will be a cold year, not much good for growing things." "So what sort of year will it be?" asked Auntie Panya. "A very good one," said Nanny with a smile. "The kumara is cooked," called Uncle Joe. We peeled off the tin foil and delicious smells rose to greet us. "The smell of this kumara will give Matariki strength. She will be hungry after her long sleep," said Nanny. "I had only a short sleep, but the smell of that kumara is sure making me hungry," laughed Uncle Joe. "Let's eat." So we sat and ate our feast of bread and hot buttered kumara while Matariki sparkled in the sky, bringing the first new morning of our special new year. "Did you enjoy our Matariki celebration?" asked Mum as we walked home. "Yes," we yawned, "but which story should we believe?" "Well," said Mum, "think of the story that feels right in your heart. That is a true story for you." "Aye," said Nanny, "I believe it's going to be a very good year." Karen, would you like to read the last bit? I gave you the hard bit. You can read the English bit.
Okay. No, I just noticed it's in English too, so yes. I mean, I'll give Tadeo a go, but our Tadeo speaking listeners may be a bit disappointed. But I'll give it a go, eh? Te rohia atu nei ka whetu rangi tia Matariki te whetu o te tau. Behold, Matariki, the star of the year, has made its appearance. Yeah, awesome.
Awesome.
I've got another version of the story as well. There's so many.
Yes.
And apparently there's actually 9 stars. Have you heard that
one? Yes, I was thinking, hey, some people are saying there's 9. I don't know.
But the other 2 are very faint, so they're often just left.
Okay.
Then there's the story of Matariki means tiny eyes or eyes of God, technically.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the story of the children of the earth mother Papa Tuanuku? Have you heard that one?
I haven't heard it recently.
The children of the earth mother Papa Tuanuku and sky father Ranganui were divided over whether to separate them and bring light and life to earth. Okay. Mm. Eventually, Tane Mahuta, I think that's the one that they were referring to, actually, and that the grandfather was referring to, the god of the forest, laid on his back and used his feet to force them apart. But Tawhiria Matia, the god of the winds, did not agree with his brother's actions. He thought that separating his parents was cruel. He was so angry he tore out his own eyes and threw them into the heavens, where they looked down on man ever since.
Oh. Okay. That's quite violent, Karen.
But yeah, it's a story they are using a lot in with the Maori today, because you know how there's so many families that are separated these days? And not just in the Maori culture, it's everywhere. So they will often refer that, their elders refer back to that story, saying, you know, it's important to keep the whānau together if at all safe and possible.
Yeah.
You know?
Close-knit families, definitely. Yeah. So interesting how in the story the auntie was saying if the stars look like they're quivering, it would be a good year? Or
I thought it was if they were clear and distinct. I don't know. My listening skills, you know, are not the best.
Okay, look at the stars.
Read that part again.
Are they bright and clear and standing apart? This means it will be a good, fine year. Okay. If they are thin and quivering and huddled together, it means it will be a cold year. Okay.
Or maybe there's just like clouds and wind. You're going to talk to us more about a bit of meteorology in a minute.
Yes.
You can explain that.
Okay. So those of you who might not know, but those close to me might know, my dad is a meteorologist or amateur meteorologist, and he's interested in astronomy and recording the weather.
He would have made an I bet you if he had land, he would have made an excellent farmer, because my dad used to, he was a farmer, and he would keep a, like anyone growing food or animals, have to keep a very close daily eye on humidity, temperatures, rainfall, all that.
Yeah.
It's important.
It is important. So he has been recording the weather at home, and now he's got his own weather station since 1974. And he records the rainfall, the temperatures, the minimum and maximum, the frosts. The only thing he doesn't record is the wind and the sun duration.
Okay.
But
because he doesn't want to have to stay up or get up early to monitor the sunrise. It's interesting to do, though.
Yeah.
But because it changes so ever so slightly.
Yeah.
So does the high and the low, is that a daily?
Yes.
Okay.
So at 9 o'clock every morning, he's there taking the temperature in his weather station, which is set up in our backyard.
Yeah.
And emptying the rain gauge to see how much rain has fallen over the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when Selena goes planting all these luxurious bushes right in front of his weather station, he gets a bit peeved because it affects everything.
I have to keep that space clear because, it could affect his readings.
Very scientific
and then
conditions.
He's always out looking at the stars. So on a clear night, he will be taking photos and recording, like, any eclipses or anything unusual.
So he'll be up at checking out Matariki early in the morning?
Yeah, probably.
Awesome.
It's not something I like to do.
You have to be quite dedicated and committed.
Yeah. But if you are observing the seasons and you're a gardener and you're growing things, you might really want to just be aware of the changes in the weather and start recording things, because the Māori people, they didn't have things like time pieces back in the days before the Europeans.
But they had an awareness, though, of...
They knew the seasons, though, and when it would start to... The sun, when it would rise and set, and then as the seasons change, what that would mean for them.
They would be constantly looking skyward to see what was happening with the weather, with the stars.
Yeah. So that was their way of knowing when to plant, when to prepare.
And when not to.
Yeah.
And when to protect.
And harvest.
And when to,
So it's all relevant for us gardeners.
Mm.
Yeah.
Highly. And if you're into big time, like, production, they will keep a very close eye on things, especially frost.
Yes.
And storms and drought.
It's going to be our next topic next
Speaking
week.
Of which, yes. So what is the rainfall showing? Is there any sort of indicators there that your dad's come across that are worth mentioning before we finish up?
Okay, before we close up, he has recorded, like, the extreme temperatures and found that the wettest and the... the driest month, the wettest month, and so that was actually the wettest month we've had to date was back in March.
March?
Yeah, that is our wet month.
Oh, when was, what year?
He's accumulated all this data
So
that's the
average. So it's average. That's interesting.
Yeah.
March?
And
that can't be recently, though.
No. And our coldest month is July, so there you go.
Okay, very interesting. Yeah. Is the rainfall picking up, just out of interest? Because we are supposedly in a serious drought.
Yeah, it should pick up.
So it's looking good. Okay, that's great.
All right, everyone, that's all we have time for.
Yes.
But we will snuggle up again next week.
Yes, snuggle up, get your rugs out. We're talking about frosts and other things. We haven't yet decided yet, but we will have something for you.
Happy gardening, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.